Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Christ. Through Mashiach Yahushua. Tonight we'll begin with, not begin with, the name of the teaching will be Temptations, Spiritual Wickedness, and Consequences of Sin. One thing about our Heavenly Father is He doesn't sugarcoat anything. When He warns us, if we divert from what He says, He lays out the horror that can follow or will follow. So we've got to be very cognizant of that. And also, He goes into great, great detail of individuals and bringing out facts that were not necessary for us to know, and most people would shun it, but no, he's going to lay it down to say, these people didn't listen to me, and here are the consequences of what happened to their lives. Why does he do that? Why does he get detailed? Because he's warning us, you know, don't do this. You know, don't do this. And I think if parents would do that with their child, like with and boys and girls, you know, explain to them about sexual relationships. You're just going to lay this all out. So Yahweh lays everything out. If you do this, this is going to happen. If you don't listen to me, this is going to happen. This is going to happen. This is going to happen. So you have to say, if you have premarital sex, here's what's going to happen. Boom, ba-boom, 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 and start laying out every fact, charts, everything else to realize you only have sexual relations because you're going to marry that person or you're married. And then everything's great. If you don't, the sexual relationship you're going to have is, that's the person you're going to marry. Well, I don't want, then don't have sexual relationship. I mean, it's just that simple. And so we're kind of, well, we don't have to go into details. Yahweh goes into details. And so we're going to see this. And our temptations are always with a spiritual entity that we can't see. We can't smell, we can't taste, we can't touch. But we live in a world where it's called spiritual wickedness in high places. And we know right there in the garden is Genesis 3:1. So we have a presence around us, and we think many times our temptations is just us. No, 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 no. We are in an invisible world, and we're being seduced into darkness. And that's, yeah, obviously, let's go to Genesis 3:1. I mean, how much easier can it be? Our Father warning us. And we're going to see this in all its, you know, not in wicked people. There are wicked people. And regardless of what Yahweh says, they could care less. I'm going to talk about good people. We're going to look at people like David, prophets, things like that. Good people who have been deceived. And, you know, Genesis 3:1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any living thing of the field which Yahweh Elohim had made. So he said unto the woman, can it really be that Elohim has said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Wow, so this is in chapter 3. You just made man and woman, and you say, don't eat the tree of good knowledge, or you die. Die, not just die. And then next verse is, here it comes. Marriage is in chapter 2. And then here is the entity that we get to live with. All of our life, they're present. And we see that in 2 Corinthians 11, 3. And if we don't acknowledge their presence, not to be fearful, but to be as wise as serpents and harmless as doves, if we don't know them, we're going to be deceived. And so we've got to put on the armor of Yahweh that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Wow. So 11, 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent completely deceived Eve in his what? Craftiness. I mean, this is... your mind should be corrupted from the singleness which are due unto the Christ. And what was this singleness? And we're going to cover some of this. 4. For if indeed he who cometh is proclaiming another Jesus. That's today. We're going to see. Whom we have not preached, proclaimed, or a different spirit you are receiving which we have not received, or a different glad message which you have never welcomed, you are well bearing. He already has warned us. Here's three categories that are going to be happening. And every one of those is present in the Christian church today. Now we go to verse 13 of the same chapter, 13 to 15. For such of these are false apostles. Oh, there's false apostles. You mean they can do signs? Yes, they can. Deceitful workers, transfiguring themselves into the apostles of Christ. So what we see on TV many times could be, you know, apostles of Christ who are actually Satan, the ministers of Satan, and they're very prosperous. They're very deceptive. You can't determine it, because the only way you can determine is according to this book. And no marvel, for Satan himself does transfigure himself into a messenger of darkness. No, a messenger of light. No great thing, therefore, if his ministers also are transforming themselves as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Wow, this has been all the way through our, you know, our lives, and all since Adam and Eve. Now we go to Ephesians 6, chapter 12. So we're just laying out here. Things are, and so what the deception is, things are not as they appear. Things are not as they appear. I do not come up to a rattlesnake and embrace it, because it will kill me. All right? But I will have sex with a woman whose husband's not there, because he's out of town. So I can get away with this, right? No. Because all of a sudden, you do this and he comes home and kills you. I mean, one was just obvious. The other one is, I think I can do this. Yeah? And that's really, you weigh that out, because if we knew the consequences, and what we're going to look at here, if we actually studied the consequences, if everybody had the consequences laid out, whether in this life or in the life to come, we'd say, no way. The price is too big. The price is way too big. I'm not going to pay that. So 12, Ephesians 6, 12, because our struggle is not against blood and flesh, but against the principalities, against the authorities, against the world holders of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenlies. There, that's what we're up against. That's what temptation's all about. And so we're going to go through this. Here's just an example. This is Proverbs 7. So I'm going to let the word of promise, the great rendering of it, audio. It's only 2 minutes, but I want you to hear it.
What would you remind Proverbs what?
7. Chapter 2, verse, I think.
You said 7.
Yeah, it's, I think, 16 to 23. But listen to this.
For at the window of my house, I looked through my lattice and saw among the simple, I perceived among the youth, a young man devoid of understanding, passing along the street near her corner, and he took the path to her house in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. And there a woman met him, with the attire of a harlot and a crafty heart. She was loud and rebellious. Her feet would not stay at home. At times she was outside, at times in the open square, lurking at every corner. So she caught him and kissed him. With an impudent face, she said to him,
I have peace offerings with me. Today I have paid my vows. So I came out to meet you, diligently to seek your face, and I have found you. I have spread my bed with tapestry, Egyptian linen. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until morning. Let us delight ourselves with love. For my husband is not at home. He has gone on a long journey. He has taken a bag of money with him and will come home on the appointed day.
With her enticing speech, she caused him to yield. With her flattering lips, she seduced him. Immediately, he went after her as an ox goes to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till an arrow struck his liver. As a bird hastens to the snare, he did not know it would cost his life. For at the window of my house, I look through my lattice.
That is King David, David. That is King David. You know, I mean, there's a little symbol. We're going to see that. 2 Samuel 11. If you think Bathsheba and David, if they saw what actually happened because of what they did come to pass, would they have ever done it? Absolutely not.
2 Samuel what?
Chapter 11. Here is an anointed a prophet of Yahweh. I saw this. Does Satan want to, when I say Satan just means, it's not an individual name, so the head of the spiritual darkness doesn't have a name. Now, Satan is really, and Satan, the word is a Hebrew word, it just means adversary, but I'll use it as a, you know, as his name, but it's not his name. Satan. Would he want David to fall? Absolutely. Is he going to get him in battle? No, he's not going to get him in battle. Where is David weak? What are his weaknesses? Okay? So if I'm going to ambush somebody, I think of that with Donald Trump and other Ephesians, there are people who are there to ambush him, to set him up, to fall. And it's usually going to be the lust of their flesh, because everything else is just obvious. You're trying to kill me.
Yeah.
So here we go in 2, and it came to pass that at evening time, David arose from his couch and walked to and fro on the roof of the king's house. When from the roof he saw a woman bathing herself, so she's naked. Okay, there it is. And the woman be exceedingly beautiful, there it is. She wasn't a 350-pound woman bathing herself. All right. Well, otherwise you're like, ah! Or, you know, 355 man, ah! that's not a temptation. Exceedingly beautiful, yeah, it's burning my brain, get it out of there.
Poor man.
Well, no, women too, if you look at that and all of a sudden you see, I mean, there's certain things you say, I don't want to see that.
I can't unsee that.
Yeah, I can't unsee that, yeah. Bathing herself, the woman being exceedingly beautiful to look upon, and David said, inquired after the woman, and one said, is not this Bathsheba, daughter of Eliam? Wife of Uriah. Oh no! Now we go
there, right there.
Now we go in. We go into sin. Now adultery, which is death. It's a death sentence. Man, oh man! If you get caught, and so what do they both want? A fling. They just want a sexual fling, a one night stand, a one night chug. And that's what they were going for, and that's what Satan was doing.
Wow.
Bingo, I got you. I got you.
Wow.
Now think of that. And I've got consequences of this sin. Did David and Bathsheba plan on hurting anyone? No. This is completely, you know, what do they call it, a terse? Or a one-night stand?
A fling.
A fling, but I think it was another word. Would they have done it if they knew the consequences? Absolutely not. None of them, there's no malice in them. It was just flesh. It was just the flesh. Uriah and others were murdered because of this. She got, her pregnancy led to that. Her dead baby was a consequence of that. The parents were robbed of their son. I mean, it's just an astronomical thing. And that was the temptation, which was done spiritual wickedness.
Murder of a loyal.
Yeah. And then you bring in Joab, and you got all these other, then you have your servants in your household and know everything about this. And then they're all, it's just like a plague. And so I thought of that, you know, with a... example of sexual dealings with youth, that people have got to say, there are STDs that by you doing one fling with somebody that you're going to carry for the rest of your life. Did you know that? And let me show you pictures of what this does. Oh, and by the way, if you get married, you're going to make them contagious. You got to tell them ahead of time. Oh my God, yes, you need to know this. You have to know this. Because then it's just, nope, not going there. It's just an example. Now, King Saul, anointed with the Holy Spirit, anointed by Yahweh, who didn't want the job, a good guy for about 25 years, he did a very good job. But then he gets a lust for power. And now he's liking the fame and the wealth and everything else. And he's going to do it his own ways. And no longer Samuel he's going to listen to. And so what we see is, let's go to 1 Samuel 31:6. And we're going to see the consequences. Did he realize... that once you bit onto this sin, so his was not lust with women, his was the lust of power and wealth, and all of a sudden he had it. And Samuel says, because you disobey, we're taking, Yahweh's given the kingdom to somebody else, and he said, not happening. So now he's fighting Yahweh. And the consequences of this, 2 Samuel 31:6. Thus died Saul and his three sons and his armor bearer, yea, all his men on that day together. And so the consequences that you thought you're going to put Jonathan into your power as your son, and you're going to have a reign of Saul, a Benjamite, to be the Christ line, really. He could have been the Christ line, and he rejected it. But that was through a good man, a very good man, who ended up being corrupted. No different than Judas and the apostle Judas. And Judas actually is the word Judah, so we should call him Judah. That's what the word means. And here was an apostle who was healing people. Yahweh, through Yahushua, anointed him as apostle, which means to be sent forth, went, two by two into the cities, and then, of whatever reason, he got tempted and said Satan entered into his heart, and it wasn't for lust, it wasn't for women, it wasn't even for power. It's probably for jealousy. So I think you had Peter, James, and John, who was exalted, and he was not part of that. And then another time he got reproved when the woman anointed Yahushua's feet with the oil, and he said, stop, that could have been sold for 300 denarii. And what happened? Yahushua rebuked Judas in front of everybody. And what did he do? Boom. And did he regret that and the consequences? And he gave back the silver. It wasn't about money. It never was about money. And all of a sudden, you end up committing suicide because you're a good person and you entered that field. So we have to be so careful of this downward spiral that happens. Yeah. That who was working with him? Satan. And how do we know that? Because we got to go through the Word, and where our mind is not agreeing with this. That's satanic. Real simple. When Yahweh is saying do this, and you say, no, nobody else is doing it. So I don't think it has to be done anymore. And so we can, which we're going to go and see on that. The next person was the priest Eli. Yeah. Now let's go to 1 Samuel 2. A good guy. He was a judge over Israel for 40 years. But he had a problem. And this is where a lot of people have a problem. And he had sons or children that he exalted above Yahweh. And Yahweh, if Yahweh says, they got to go, and you're like, these are my children. They got to go. These are my children. And you say, no, they're not going to go. Wow. And then what are the consequences? Let's look at that. 2:27-29. And there came a man of Elohim unto Eli and said unto him, thus saith Yahweh, I did indeed reveal myself unto the house of thy father when they were in Egypt as servants unto the house of Pharaoh, choosing them out of all the tribes of Israel unto myself, to minister as priests, to offer upon my altar, to perfume with incense, to bear an ephod before me. Therefore I gave unto the house of thy father all the altar flames of the sons of Israel. All of who came into you, because you're of the Levites. You're a son of Aaron. Wherefore have you been kicking at my sacrifice and my presence, which I commanded to serve for a home, and shouldest have honored thy sons, there it is, have honored thy sons more than me. Fatten yourself with the fruits of every present of Israel before me. And we see the consequences if you read the cases, but in 4:7, you see chapter 4, verse 17 and 18. And the Philistines are coming. Yahweh sent a prophet to say, get your act together. So you have two choices. Ignore Yahweh or get your act together. And what did he choose? He chose to get his act together. David chose to get his act together. Because Yahweh sent Nathan. And he got his act together. Good choice. Yeah, Eli did not. As we're going to see. So 17 and 18. I think that's what it said. Yeah, 17 and 18. And the bearer of tidings answered and said, Israel have fled before the Philistines. Moreover, also a great smiting had taken place among the people. These are the consequences of the temptation. Of the spiritual wickedness working in you, which now, instead of keeping the reins on the people, keeping the reins on your sons, you let the reins go. And that was what Aharon did with the people of Israel when Moses was there. He gave them the reins. And you've got leaders, call people, fathers and mothers have to keep the reins on. If they let go of those reins, now you are the problem. And then it came to pass, oh wait a minute, moreover also thy two sons are slain, Hophni and Phinehas. The ark of the covenant, the ark of Elohim is taken. And it came to pass when he mentioned the ark of Elohim that he fell off his seat backwards at the side of the gate and his neck brake and he died. For old was the man in heaven and had judged Israel 40 years. He's about 90 years old. What a way to go. If he would have saw, if you don't turn around, your sons are going to die and you're going to die. You're going to have no heritage whatsoever. And actually the prophet told him that and he still didn't do it. Golly, so let's just not be that obstinate. Next one is Zedekiah, 2 Chronicles 36. Zedekiah, if you look, you just read Jeremiah, and Jeremiah is pleading with Zedekiah, surrender to Nebuchadnezzar, surrender to Nebuchadnezzar, he's not going to kill you. And he listened to his counselors instead of the voice of Yahweh coming from the prophet Jeremiah. They don't have the word that we have. That same voice is this written word. That's the prophet to us. And if we turn against that written word, we're no different than Zedekiah, Eli, David. You know, we turn against. We're the same situation.
Excuse me.
36:14. The summation of Zedekiah. Also, all the rulers of the priests, let me say, 14. Also, all the rulers of the priests and of the people abounded in committing treachery. This is Israel, the holy nation, supposedly. According to all the abominable ways of the nation. This is the Christian church today. Think of that. And polluted the house of Yahweh, which he had hallowed in Jerusalem. And though Yahweh, Elohim of their fathers, sent unto them through his messengers, zealously sending them, because he had compassion, or raham, upon his people, upon his habitation. Yet became they mockers of the messengers of Elohim, the prophets, that Yahweh's father is trying to deliver their children. Mockers and despisers of his words and mimics of his prophets. These are the Christian church of that day. Until the mounting up of the wrath of Yahweh against his people, until there was no more healing. So he brought up against them the king of the Chaldeans, Nebuchadnezzar, who slew the young man with the sword in the house of their sanctuary, and had no raham upon young man or virgin, elder or ancient, all delivered into his hand. And if you just read the book of Lamentations, Lamentations will tell you a seizure where everybody is starving inside the community. And Yahweh in Deuteronomy 28 warns him, you will eat your babies. You'll eat your afterbirth. I mean, this is what you... If you don't do what I say, you break away from the... Here is... Not sugarcoating it, and this is what we got to do with our children. We're not going to... believers of any kind. You want to do this? Here's the consequences. Are you willing to pay that price? Lay it all out. Well, I don't want to get too gross. You know, you need to get... Lay it out just like Yahweh lays it out. And that, we don't have to go there, but that's Deuteronomy 28:15. And then 30 on, it talks about if you do not do my word, here's what's going to happen. Now, the temptation. Now, we think, okay, I can see that with, you know, sexual encounters, taking money that's really not mine, maybe in taxation, I can feel I could be justified. And so I'm not a bad person. It just seems like, this is not necessary. And so we get into that because our adversary, the spiritual wickedness, is taking us down a step. And just like the woman, I start thinking, if the young man in Proverbs 7 saw a witch, you know, which is Satan, and say, heck no, I'm not going to do that because I know the consequence. You're going to kill me.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So what I got to do is I got to put over Satan a beautiful garments and beautiful looks and perfume, and I've got linen, Egyptian linen on my bed. And guess what? Guarantee you're not going to get caught. Let's just go do it. It's a fling. No commitments, no ties. All right, and that's where it goes. And so what was happened to us today? Well, how about the written word? You know, when we're looking at that, the Germany in World War II was 90% Christian. That's what they say. Now, Protestant and Catholic. Heck in the heck, how could that be? You know, we can see with Islam, obviously. Islam is wicked. But how could it supposedly a Christian nation do what they actually allowed to do? And that was, quote-unquote, Christianity, not in action.
They did it. They didn't just allow it.
Yeah, but they allowed it first by doing it, and then all of a sudden, now they get recruited into the military, and now it's just, and it starts tumbling and tumbling, because somebody says, Hitler says, we're going to give you something that you don't have. Yeah. These guys are financially depressed because of World War I, because of that Christian nation doing the same thing before, of wanting other people's property. So we're going to just take, because it's really our property. It's not their property. They took it from us. Let's just go re-get it, confiscate it. And then it goes boom, boom. And if you look at the end of World War II, Germany, Berlin, everything's a shambles. Millions of people dead, homeless children. The consequences. That was a Christian nation. Well, it can't happen to me or my pastor. Let's just look at that. how about the spiritual wickedness in a Christian church today? How about bowing to three gods, the Trinity? I mean, whatever happened to Yahweh? There is no Yahweh. There's Jesus. When did Jesus become Yahweh? And that is it. If you're going to join our church, you have to agree and you sign a deal that you're going to go with these statements. And so that's Satan running the church.
Move my socks off.
Yeah, and here, what is the first commandment? I am Yahweh thy God. Thou shalt have no other gods besides me. Ambiguous? Is there any ambiguity in that at all? Absolutely not. It's so simple. And how can you come up with a triune God? And then you call the Jehovah Witnesses, who have one God, Jehovah, you call them heretics, but the triune God, you call Orthodox. Wow! That's Satan running full-blown the church. And all your pastors, do they look like Satan? Do they have horns? Do they have, you know, do they have red suits on with pitchforks? You know, all these things would be fake. No. They're on TV every day. Do not speak in tongues and to prophesy. Well, there, let's just get rid of 1 Corinthians 14. Does your church speak in tongues and to prophesy? Interpret? No. Bingo. Who doesn't want that? That's Satan. Did God really say? So back to Genesis 3:1. Did God really say you're supposed to speak in tongues and interpret them? Well, that was for the people back then, not for us today. Did God really say, you know, Jesus is really God? You have an image of him. You know, we've got an image. We can see Jesus. I can put signs over here. I got Jesus up here too. So there's your God, people. Mm-hmm. Oh, wait a minute. I thought we were supposed to have any images. Well, nah. So the first commandment's done. The second commandment's done, broken. And that's the Christian church teaching to break the first and second commandment. How about the dead in our, is a portal to the dead? People do not die, they just transfer to heaven. Demonic. Dead or alive. And that's spiritual wickedness in the church. Jesus is our God, not Yahweh. And that just goes down. You can see, hear songs and everything else. And is it colorful? Are these messengers of light? Yeah, the people singing the songs. The pastors. It's no great thing that his messengers shall be angels of light. And so they don't look satanic at all. And how do we know they're satanic? Not by their looks, but by the scriptures. And we look at the scriptures and say, no. All right, you can bring a homosexual into a church. He's all right. No. That's 1 Corinthians 5. And we go bam, bam, bam. So 1 Corinthians all over again because the warning's right there. What's the problem with this? Why do we not bow? And so Satan knows we're social creatures. We want to be part of the flock. We want to be with everybody else. And so I'm going to use this longing I have. I'm not going to rape a woman. I'm not going to commit adultery, things like that. But I want to belong someplace. You know, I want to be part of some society, so I'm going to use that. So once I get, you know, minister to start relaying this out, but in order to come here, you have to bow to these doctrines of demons. Okay, so I'll sign the form because I'm longing. Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Right there. The moral of the story, Satan is the woman in Proverbs. Satan wrote the Trinity. He's the author of the Trinity.
It's also Delilah.
Yeah. So craftiness, deceiving is the lust of the flesh and in the church. They are angels of light, ministers of righteousness. This written word unveils Satan and his doctrines. If you don't know this, you are deceived. If you're going to listen to what the pastor says, you're deceived.
And if you know it and you continue doing what you're doing, it's worse.
Well, yeah. Now, I know that's what the pastors have to do. They're actually selling their soul for fame. So they're not out to benefit people, which they'll say that. But they know if I tell them the truth, they're going to leave me. And that is King Saul, you know, when Yahweh say, kill all the Amalekites, and he didn't, because the people, Aaron is Aaron's name, actually made the calf because of the
people.
That pressure can be great, and he could justify it to say, well, at least they're not trying to kill other people, because now we're just going to worship this calf. Mm-hmm. And people say, well, that was terrible, that's so obvious. The Trinity is so obvious. I mean, you know, there's no place in the Scripture whatsoever. On the contrary, it says just the opposite. So, let's keep that up and teach others. So we'll go ahead and end tonight with our Heavenly Father with the word of prophecy according to 1 Corinthians 14. So, Father, we thank you through these words to Mashiach Yahushua, our Lord and Savior. Be bold. Because in you, I exist. I exist within you in order to deliver you from the power of darkness. So come to my word and meditate and engulf my word with your hunger and desire. But you must be faithful to what I say. Unfaithfulness will reap disaster. So be faithful to my word and you shall reap life. Amen.